Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah when both were far too old to have children. Samuel was born to Hannah, who was barren up until that point in time. St. John the Baptist, born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, when they, as just as Abraham and Sarah were, thought to be too old to have children. To top it all off, though, today we celebrate the most miraculous birth that we find in the Scriptures and throughout the history of the world, indeed, as we celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. In each case, God showed His miraculous power in granting children to people in unexpected circumstances. But what about now? It seems that as we look at the Scriptures, Old and New Testament included, you see miracles just flying around all over the place. People are healed of diseases on the spot. Seas divide into two. Time stands still. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Demons are cast out. The dead are raised. Why doesn't this stuff happen anymore? Is God with us or not? Now, we probably wouldn't go that far. But it still seems like miracles just don't happen anymore. And the truth is that, quite honestly, with the end of the apostolic age, this brings an end to the time that God would allow those whom He had called to preach the word to be able to perform certain miracles in His name. The miracles and the signs that the apostles did, they gave evidence that they were indeed trusted messengers of God sent to proclaim the salvation to all people. But now, doesn't happen anymore. Now, if Eutychus falls out of a window because he's tired during the sermon and dies, he's probably not going to be raised from the dead by the preacher. I have yet to heal any diseases, lay my hands on people and bring them back to life or anything like that. Never happened. And I don't plan on picking up that ability anytime soon because God has not promised that I'm going to be able to do that. So if that was the way that the apostles were identified, they were the ones that carried on Christ's ministry and they were able to do many of the same miracles that Christ was, how can you be sure that anything that I'm telling you today is true? How can you tell that any of what the preachers these days tell you is true? How can you be sure that God is really present among you right now? For that, you must look to the source of all teaching and doctrine, God's holy word. There, God reveals to you everything that you'll ever need to know about Him. You can look to the Word of God and compare what is taught and preached to you to the words of Holy Scripture and be reassured that you are hearing the truth. And you can be assured that when you are hearing the Word of God, you are in the very presence of God. But the truth is that while the extraordinary miracles that happen throughout the Holy Scriptures may not be around anymore, God still makes miracles happen today, but He does it through ordinary means. The fact that you are a child of God is a miracle in itself. And each and every one of God's people is saved by the exact same means, the means of grace, the ways that God delivers the gifts to you that His Son, Jesus Christ, won on the cross for you. So what's so miraculous about the means of grace, word and sacrament? What is so miraculous about that? Well, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were born dead in our sins and trespasses. You're already dead. That means that you have no love for God, no interest in doing His will, no ability to do anything about it at all. Something that is dead can do precisely what a dead mouse under a refrigerator does. It stinks. Because we're all born dead in sins, all we can do when it comes to our relationship with God is stink. But because God still loves you, He wants to free you from sin, and he wants to bring you back as his dear living child. But in order to bring the dead to life, what does it take? It takes a miracle. And that's where the means of grace, word and sacrament come in. The word of God that we hear, the waters of holy baptism, the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Baptism may seem rather ordinary, but when you were baptized, God worked a miracle in your life. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 that you must be born again, and that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul writes in Titus, we heard some of these words just a moment ago, that God saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Regeneration, renewal, born again. That's what everyone needs. And that's what happens in holy baptism. New birth, becoming a Christian, it's a miracle. And it's this miracle of baptism that connects you with Jesus and all that he did for you. Paul writes to the Romans that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So baptism is a miracle we see all the time. Another is the Lord's Supper. So often, no matter how many times we've been taught, we may think that the Lord's Supper is just a symbol. It's just eating and drinking bread and wine and thinking or remembering Jesus and all that he's done. But this morning we celebrate the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, God becoming man. Jesus, the Son of God, has come down from heaven and made his dwelling among us. Just as God dwelt with his people in the Old Testament, we were reading about it from Exodus, God comes in a very real way through the cloud and through the fire. Jesus comes today and dwells among you in the flesh. And this morning we experience it in a very real way. Jesus really is there in that bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. It's not some spiritual presence or a symbolic presence. When you come to the Lord's table, you get the real thing. The very flesh and blood, body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior. This is my body, this is my blood, Jesus tells us. How can it be that something that looks, smells, and tastes like bread is actually the body of Christ? How can it be that something that looks, tastes, and smells like wine is actually the blood of Christ? Because God's word says it is. The cup of blessing that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is a participation in the body of Christ, St. Paul writes. And what is the Lord's Supper for? It's for the forgiveness of sins. God is still to this day doing the miraculous and extraordinary things in very ordinary looking ways. In holy baptism, we're born again to God and are connected to Jesus' work on the cross. In the Lord's Supper, the reborn partake of the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Better yet, though, the power of these gifts is not here today and gone tomorrow. God's gifts are always at work, renewing and strengthening your faith and new life in Christ. Every day, the Word of God is available to us to read, believe, memorize, and meditate upon. And so, indeed, miracles like the one we celebrate today are still happening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.